complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us, that he may speak to us each through his holy word, as we seek to consider it, as helped by the Holy Spirit. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read, in Jeremiah chapter 50, and in particular verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall truly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Particular that first clause, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. This clause, of course, applies to a particular people. It does not apply to all the world. Dear friends, it's very solemn, isn't it? To live our lives completely separate from the Lord of hosts, Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and of this earth, and who gave his only begotten Son to be the Saviour of sinners. The Old Testament of the Scriptures testifies much of this sacred truth, that although all are born dead in trespasses and in sin spiritually, there is deliverance from the power of sin through the power of God and of his Christ. Dear friends, this is something that should always be in us, upon our consciences, in our minds. For we do not live upon this world forever. One day it will come to an end. And that day will be a day when we shall be judged, whether we know the sacred truth and faith in God and of his Christ, or whether we do not. Dear friends, being born dead in trespasses and in sin spiritually, we have no power to do anything for the salvation of our souls. It's only through the mercy of the grace of God that he has a people. He has a people whom he prepares and raises up for his praise. Not because of great benefits, earthly riches and comforts and those sort of things which will pass away, no. Speaking of the great mercy of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins. We're all guilty under his holy law, his righteous law, which he gave and made known through Moses. Although mankind was under the law before that, because of sin. And if we obeyed that law, that righteous law completely, 100%. Yes, we would be found guiltless in the day of judgment and would be received into heaven above. But no one since Adam fell and Eve since they sinned and we are all born in the image of Adam. Dear friends, none of us have ever fulfilled that law 100%, have we? We've only got to look at the Ten Commandments. And even the first one. Oh, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, and are they not idols in our hearts? Covetousness is idolatry. Oh, how we long for things and say, oh, we cannot do without this, we cannot do without that. We make little idols in our hearts. And we value them at times, perhaps all times, more than we do of the things of God and of Christ. Because we're of this earth, earthy. Dear friends, what a mercy. The Lord himself has power to forgive sins. He has power to deliver us from the enemy of our souls. Our Redeemer is strong. That Redeemer, that word redemption, literally means deliverance, separation, a severing, through either a power or through a price that has to be paid. We read much in the Old Testament, don't we, regarding a redemption. Sometimes it was by a price that was paid. Like when Boaz bought the property, the land of Elimelech, so that seed could be raised up for Elimelech, who was now dead and had got no child. Or in Jeremiah itself, when he was in prison. His uncle's son came and asked him to buy his land, for he had the right to redeem it. At other times it was power. The power of God to deliver his people from the power of their enemies. Oh, Israel and Judah, who are the declared as the Lord's chosen people. They had many enemies. Whether it was Syria, Assyria, whether it was Moab or Ammon or Egypt. They had great enemies that sought to destroy them. And they had no power of themselves again and again to fight against them. But we read again and again, the Lord redeemed them from the hand of their enemies in his power. And that power, dear friends, was founded upon his love toward them. Oh, Jacob have I loved. Dear friends, he didn't love Jacob because he was worth anything any more than the chief of sinners. The sovereign love of God. Dear friends, this is the theme throughout all the scriptures, isn't it? Concerning the people, the children of God. They're loved with an everlasting love. And dear friends, the redemption, the purchase price, the deliverance of them from the power of their enemy, Satan. Oh, it's through his power. The power of the Almighty. Our Almighty Lord and God. And as we read these portions of the Old Testament, dear friends, there are those types, as we say, in the practical redemption of that which was to come and made confirmed in the spiritual redemption through Jesus, the Son of God. The time of our portion we've read here was a very, very solemn time for Israel and for Judah. God was still their God, but they had departed from him. They had rebelled against him again and again and again. And through the long suffering of their God, He had turned them again and again from the power of their enemies. But now, as the fullness of time came when he would fulfill his word, which he spoke to them by Moses, that if they continued to rebel, they would be taken into captivity, into another land far off. And the promised land would be a desolation. Now, dear friends, the Lord is strong in his word. Not only just strong in his love, he is strong in his wrath and in his anger. He's strong in the truth that what he says, it shall be done. But he moves in a mysterious way, doesn't he? Yes, his wonders to perform. And dear friends, we find that throughout the Old Testament, of how the Lord dealt with his people. His sinful people, his rebellious people. Those who deserved only to be cast away because they were so vile. Yet he moved in a mysterious way toward them and upon them. His wonders to perform. Because their Redeemer, him, God, their Redeemer is strong. Their Redeemer is strong. He will not let their sin and their evil, which was from the hand of Satan, destroy them, or any other that was round about them, who were ruled by Satan and the spirit of evil, from destroying them. But at times he would put them into their hands to teach them their sin, to bring them into grief, to bring them into sorrow. Oh, a chastening which is grievous. But it was for their teaching. And so he brought them into the captivity. Israel, the captivity through Assyria, who dispersed Israel throughout the kingdom of Assyria. And then Judah, some years later, he raised up in power the nation of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who came and destroyed Judah, came and destroyed Jerusalem, came and destroyed the temple where God had placed his name in those earlier years. Oh, what a solemn desolation came upon Israel and Judah. One would say, looking at that situation there, there is no hope. There is no hope. They have forsaken the Lord. He hath forsaken them. Oh, but what do we read concerning their Redeemer? Their Redeemer is strong. He says, for a moment, a short little moment, have I forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. Oh, their Redeemer is strong. Strong in his faithfulness. Strong in his mercy. Dear friends, there's nothing like the strength of God to save his people from their sins and the consequences of it. Their Redeemer is strong. Now Israel had been in captivity before, hadn't they? They'd been in captivity in Egypt. And there, at first, they were welcomed in the time of Joseph. And Joseph saved Egypt from the time of famine. And Egypt prospered when Israel was in Egypt, in the land of Goshen. But there came a time when they forgot Joseph. He was dead. And the kings of Egypt hated these strangers, these ones who were different from their own people. And they sought to use them only for their own good, or even sought to slay them All the young boys were to be killed and thrown in the river and so forth. But, dear friends, their Redeemer was strong. The Lord would not let that come to pass. You know, dear friends, we look today, don't we? Perhaps the Church of Christ. What a benefit that has been to our nation in years gone by. The time of the Reformation and the years since then. When the gospel of Christ has been faithfully preached and proclaimed and believed on, the Spirit of the Lord has taken of his word and called so many out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light. And the nation has prospered under the laws of the land based on the Holy Scriptures. But now, in the past 100 years, dear friends, how that love of the truth and the value that has been from the Church of Christ and obeying the gospel, how that has begun to wane. As such that there are many today who would have the Christian faith removed from our land. Dear friends, these accounts in the Old Testament should be a comfort to us. The Redeemer of Israel and Judah is the Redeemer of his church today. God does not change. God is ever the same. He said to Israel, Judah, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Their Redeemer is strong. And dear friends, our Redeemer is strong. Spiritually. And providentially, he's the ruler of all the heavens and the earth. And nothing can take place which is not in accordance with his will. For Israel of old in Egypt, the time came when, in answer to the many prayers put up to the Lord, our time's always ready, isn't it? Israel's time was always ready. But the time was in the Lord's hand when he should bring them out of Egypt by the hand of Moses towards the promised land. Their Redeemer was strong. How his strength was seen in those plagues he brought upon Egypt. But you know, dear friends, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Those first three plagues. Well, the first one wasn't a plague, but a demonstration of power. When Moses cast his rod before Pharaoh and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh called his magicians and they did exactly the same with their rods. Although Aaron's rod did swallow up the rods or the serpents of the others. But then there was the plague of the river made blood, all the rivers. And Pharaoh called his magicians and they did the same. Then there was the plague of frogs and their magicians did the same. What power was given to those of Egypt at the time to do these miraculous things? And then there was the plague of lice, when Moses cast down rod upon the ground, over the ground, and the magicians could not do that. They said, this is none other than the finger of God. Now, dear friends, the finger of God is only a small part of his power, isn't it? The finger of God. By his fingers, the moon and the stars were made, the work of his fingers, the scripture tells us. And all this great power that is of God, the Redeemer of his people, who does what he will do, when he will do, and nothing can withstand it. He said, I will work and who shall let it? But those plagues, they didn't do anything to lessen the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. Until the angel of death came. And dear friends, that was the judgment of God upon Egypt. and the land of Goshen, where Israel were, they were sinners also. Although they were the Lord's chosen people, they were sinners. And they deserved the same consequence of their sin. But God, their Redeemer, is strong. He gave to Moses what they should do. He gave them the strength and the faith to do it. To take that lamb, each one of them a lamb, and to slay it as a sacrifice for their sins. And to sprinkle that blood upon the doorposts and the lintels and to shelter beneath it. It was to be the evidence. Oh, there'd been a consequence, a price paid for their sin. In essence, a price of redemption. The shed blood of an innocent one. What a type of Christ that was who was to come as man. And then the angel of death passed over. And when he saw the blood, he passed over those houses. The price, the ransom had been paid. Oh, dear friend, so it is, isn't it, with all that trust in Christ, all that by faith believe upon him and, oh, value that shed blood as their only hope of eternal life, the only way we can shelter from the wrath of God in the last day, the wrath of God for our sin. Oh, dear friends, our Redeemer is strong. Who gave his only begotten son. And then that power in Egypt, all that power of God to destroy the firstborn of all the people there, and those people and Pharaoh made willing to let the people go free. Dear friends, that redemption was the price, and it was power, wasn't it? To deliver his people from captivity. And dear friends, it'll be the same for you and me in the captivity of our sin under the power of Satan. It will be. A price has been paid. The Lamb of God slain. It'll be his power to lay down his life and to take it again. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, our Redeemer is strong. Dear friends, the evidence of it again and again, is here in the Old Testament, of that which was to come. This captivity of Judah now in Babylon. Dear friends, they were there on account of their sin in captivity, and they could not deliver themselves. But dear friends, when we consider this captivity on account of their sin, you know, there were those who were taken captive to Babylon who were not sinners like the others. They believed in God. They trusted in God. Such as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. There was Ezekiel, the prophet, who prophesied in Babylon. There were others. There were those who were born there. Dear friends, the Lord himself was there still with his people. Even though they were in this time of great trouble, under a conviction of their sinfulness. You know, we read, don't we? This was how they mourned in their captivity on account of their sin. By the rivers of Babylon, this is Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. So these weren't the ones who were born in Babylon. These were those who were taken into captivity from Jerusalem. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. How shall we sing the Lord's song? In a strange land. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her, Connie. They began to mourn over their sins. And we read later in, I think it's in the prophet Zechariah, where they were to forget their mourning after their deliverance. But that shows that when they were in their captivity, when they were under the consequence of their sin, when the hand of the Lord was hard against them, they mourned, they fasted. But they could do nothing to bring about their deliverance, could they? They were weak, they were helpless. All they could do, as we would say, is pray and hope and look again to God who had redeemed them from Egypt, to redeem them again from their captivity in Babylon. Now, dear friends, their Redeemer is strong. He had power to save them again. That power of the Lord never fails, never ceases, never reduces. His love and his mercy, his compassion, his tenderness. He knows his people's frame. He remembers they are but dust. And he has mercy upon them when the time is right, when their cry is right. Oh, the time came. It was after 70 years. It was exactly the time appointed by God when he spoke through Jeremiah before they were taken into captivity. When some of them went, he said it would be for 70 years, 70 years and 10. And so it came to pass. Dear friends, the word of the Lord is strong, isn't it? The word of the Lord is truth. There's no variableness with it. What he says is truth, and what he says, it shall be done. What the Lord said through Isaiah in 43, verse 14. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, the strength of the Lord's love and mercy to sinners. Dear friends, those were the words given to those prophets, Isaiah, before the captivity came. But they were words which Israel and Judah, they proved at the time of their captivity. The Lord was faithful. Well, what do we read at the end of the prophecy of Ezekiel, who prophesied from Babylon? He mentions the Lord, Jehovah, Shammah, the Lord is there, the Lord is there. And although he chastened them, in due time he brought forth the precious fruit of righteousness. But dear friends, it came about as they were brought to cry for mercy. And their cry came up unto the Lord of hosts. Their Lord is strong. Oh, his ear is ever open to their cry. Oh, what does the psalmist say? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. What a promise to those who cry unto the Lord out of the depths of their troubles, the depths of the consequence of troubles through their sins. And the Lord hath brought them into the hand of troubles, tribulations, the hand of their enemies, those who have risen against them. But they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. Oh, their Redeemer is strong. Nothing could withstand his time when he came to deliver his people. Wasn't it the same, friends, in the last war when our king called the nation to prayer again and again? Was it 6 times or 7 times throughout those years of war? And the Lord delivered us. The Lord redeemed our country from the hand of the enemy. Dear friends, those prayers were confession of sins. Those prayers were prayers of one's unworthiness, of the least of the Lord's mercies. Those prayers were prayers to acknowledge his righteous judgment. Those prayers were that, oh, we were unworthy of the least of his mercies. And those prayers were yet, in spite of all that, to deliver us by his strength, by his outstretched arm, by the gift of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from sins. You see, dear friends, although there was the sacrifice in Egypt given to them there, where they sacrificed the lamb, those sacrifices still carried on, didn't they? And one would expect in their mourning and fasting, even in Babylon, there was still the sacrifice of sins. But it wasn't the outward performance of those sacrifices. It was the exercise of their hearts, those broken hearts on account of their sins, those broken hearts and a contrite spirit. Such it was with Jonah in the whale's belly. Oh, he was a sinner, wasn't he? He rebelled against God. God had given him a charge. God had given him a commission to go to Nineveh. It wasn't of his own will. And he rebelled against God. I will not go. And he sought to distance himself from the presence of God. And God sent that great storm as he sought to escape. And he acknowledged his sin, that it was on his behalf, his rebelliousness, that great storm arose. Because God is almighty, is the God of the whole earth. And he told those others of the ship that that storm was from the hand of God because of his sin. And to save their own souls, they must throw him into the water, into the raging wrath of God. And that was sure and certain death by naturally speaking, wasn't it? And he went down into the depths. The weeds wrapped about his head. But God, his Redeemer, had prepared a great fish. Oh, there his Redeemer was strong. It swallowed Jonah into his belly. What a dreadful place that was. Jonah described it as the belly of hell, the belly of the grave. He was buried, but yet still alive, breathing. And what did that bring Jonah to do there in that depth, in that darkness, in that dreadful place? He said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Well, dear friends, the temple wasn't there where he was. He did not know where the temple was, which direction he would be looking. What he really meant in his heart, looking towards the temple, the place where the Lord had placed his name, he was looking to the mercy of God from his heart by faith. He cried unto the Lord in his depth of his troubles. And he says, the Lord heard me. The Lord heard me and brought him forth out of that belly of hell. And God commanded the fish to vomit Jonah back onto the dry land. And Jonah came into the obedience of the word of God. Oh, that solemn chastening. One of those things that work together for good. To those that love God, Jonah did love God. He'd been used as a prophet of God beforehand. But oh, how easy it is to fall into sin, isn't it? You and I, how easy to fall into sin. And the hand of the Lord to be against us, bring us into troubles, into difficulties. Oh, these Israelites, these of Judah here in the captivity of Babylon. Dear friends, there were those who still looked to the temple, praying to the Lord in confession of their sins. Daniel was one, wasn't he? When Daniel was threatened to be put into the lion's den, we read he opened his window and prayed as he did 3 times a day, as usual, towards Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem wasn't there now, Daniel. It's been destroyed. The temple isn't now there, Daniel. It's been destroyed. That land is all desolate. Dear friends, it wasn't the physical. It wasn't the physical looking in a particular direction to a particular place in that respect, was it? His heart in spirit was up toward God. His heart praying for the Lord to help him, to be with him. And after those 70 years confessing his sins for deliverance of Judah, dear friends, that's the example for us, isn't it? We are sinners. Oh, dear friends, if we've known something of the love of the Lord and we've been called by his grace and we value that shed blood of Christ, dear friends, when we sin and we come into the consequences of our sin, difficulties and troubles and things rise against us, dear friends, there's a throne of grace. There we find our Redeemer is strong to do all things yet for us in love and mercy, to give us more grace to help us, to deliver us, to supply our need, or to redeem us from the power of sin and from all that is against us. Dear friends, Israel and Judah's Redeemer is our Redeemer. We're all one in Christ Jesus. No, he was not born physically in the Old Testament. But John in his vision saw Jesus in heaven as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The sins of these people in the captivity of Israel and Judah. Dear friends, all their hope was still on Christ, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And he changes not. Jesus the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, dear friends, where's our hope this morning? Do we look to ourselves to walk uprightly in accordance with the word of God to be our righteousness? We shan't achieve it, shall we? We shall sink into sin and sin and sin again. In our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. That which is not of faith is sin, the scripture tells us. Oh, what dreadful, vile sinners we are. But our Redeemer is strong. He hath paid the price for our sins. The price demanded by the law. Oh, that the price is of the shedding of blood for remission of sin. And that power, the power of that love in his spirit to break our hearts, to bring us humble to his feet, to look unto him at all times, and to save us by his grace. Oh, when we read these words, their Redeemer is strong. May we be able to say with it, our Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall truly plead our cause, that he may give rest to us and to disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon, those that are of Satan's power and his agents, that rise against us. Oh, what precious truths there are in the Old and the New Testament, all centered upon the Lord and his Christ. Our Redeemer is strong. Amen.